नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं जन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स पदंतिकं वंदेहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुत पदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश श्रीरूपां सागरजातं सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साधयितं सावधूतं परिजना सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादं सहगना ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पापनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदन्नाय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरतिष्ये नमः हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्ध जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमस्ते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी विषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ओं नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओं नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओं नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृतं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जय मुदीरये नष्टप्रायश्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नष्टिकी सो टुडे विल बी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 26 किंग पुरंजन गोज टू द फॉरेस्ट टू हंट and his queen becomes angry. Today we'll be reading from text 1 to text 3. Text 3 is on the board. So I'll read text 1 and text 2, then we'll read text 3 together. Narada Uvacha Sa Ikoda Maheshasa Ratham Panchasam Asugam Disham Dichakram Ekaksam श्री वेणुम पंच बंधुरम एक रश्मि एक दमनम एक निदम दिकुबरम पंच प्रहरनम सप्त बारुथम पंच विक्रमम वैम पस्करम आरुय स्वर्ण वर्मक्ष एसुदी एकादश चमुनाथ पंच प्रस्थम अगाध्वनम होम पस्करम आरुह्य स्वर्ण वर्मक्ष एसुदी एकादश चमुनाथ पंच प्रस्थम अगाध्वनम वैम पस्करम आरुह्य स्वर्ण वर्मक्ष एसुधि एकादश चमुनाथ पंच प्रस्थम अगाध्वनम Mataji's. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Because all the verses are together, translation is also together. The great sage Narada continued, "My dear King, once upon a time, King Puranjana took up his great bow and equipped with golden armor and a quiver of unlimited arrows and accompanied by 11 commanders. He sat on his chariot, driven by 5 swift horses, and went to the forest named Panchaprastha. He took with him in that chariot 2 explosive arrows. The chariot itself was situated on 2 wheels and 1 revolving axle. On the chariot were the 3 flags, 1 rein, 1 chariot driver, 1 sitting place, 2 poles to which the harness was fixed, 5 weapons and 7 coverings. The chariot moved in 5 different styles and 5 obstacles lay before it. All the decorations of the chariot were made of gold." Lot of descriptions. Better we repeat so that we can remember. So please repeat after me, long translation of the 3 verses. The great sage Narada continued, "My dear King, once upon a time, King Puranjana took up his great bow and equipped with golden armor and a quiver of unlimited arrows and accompanied by 11 commanders. He sat on his chariot, driven by 5 swift horses and went to the forest named Panchaprastha. He took with him in that chariot 2 explosive arrows. The chariot itself was situated on 2 wheels and 1 revolving axle. On the chariot were 3 flags, 1 rein, 1 chariot driver, 1 sitting place, 2 poles to which the harness was fixed, 5 weapons and 7 coverings. The chariot moved in 5 different styles and 5 obstacles lay before it. All the decorations of the chariot were made of gold." Purport. It's a long purport by Prabhupada. 1, 2, 3 pages. So I'll go slow because various connections are there. It's an allegorical story, so we have to relate. Purport. These 3 verses explain how the material body of the living entity is under the control of the 3 qualities of the external energy. The body itself is the chariot, and the living entity is the owner of the body, as explained in Bhagavad Gita, "Dehine Aspin Jatha Dehe." The owner of the body is called the Dehi, and he is situated within this body, specifically within the heart. The living entity is driven by one chariot, is driven by one chariot driver. The chariot itself is made of 3 gunas, the 3 qualities of material nature, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, "Yantra Rurani Mayaya." The word yantra means carriage. The body is given by material nature and the driver of that body is Paramatma, the super soul. The living entity is seated within the chariot. This is the actual position. The living entity is always being influenced by the three qualities, sattva, goodness, rajas, passion, and tamas, ignorance. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Srivir gunamoir bhavai. The living entity is bewildered by the three qualities of material nature. These three qualities are described in this verse as three flags. By a flag, one can come to know who the owner of the chariot is. Similarly, by the influence of the three qualities of material nature, one can easily know the direction in which the chariot is moving. In other words, one who has eyes to see can understand how the body is being driven, influenced by this particular type of quality of material nature. In these three verses, the activity of the living entity is described to prove how the body becomes influenced by the quality of ignorance, even when a person wants to be religious. Narad Muni wanted to prove to King Prachinavarisa that the king was being influenced by the tamoguna, the quality of ignorance, even though the king was supposed to be very religious. According to Karmakandya, the process of fruitive activities, a person performs various sacrifices directed by the Vedas. And in all those sacrifices, animal killing or experimenting on the life of animals to test the power of Vedic mantras is enjoined. Animal killing is certainly conducted under the influence of the mode of ignorance. Even though one may be religiously inclined, animal sacrifice is recommended in the Shastras, not only in the Vedas, but even in the modern scriptures of other sects. These animal sacrifices are recommended in the name of religion. But actually, animal sacrifice is meant for person in the mode of ignorance. When such people kill animals, they can at least do so in the name of religion. However, when the religious system is transcendental, like the Vaishnava religion, there is no place for animal sacrifice. Such transcendental religious system is recommended by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam saranam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayami ma shuchah. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Because King Prachinavarisat was engaged in performing various sacrifices in which animals were killed, Narad Muni pointed out that such sacrifices are influenced by the mode of ignorance. From the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated, Prajjita Kaitava Atra. All kinds of religious systems that are involved in cheating are completely kicked out of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the Bhagavad Dharma, the religion dealing with one's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, animal sacrifice is not recommended. In the performance of Sankirtan Yajna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, there is no recommendation for animal sacrifices. In these three verses, King Puranjana's going to the forest to kill animals is symbolic of the living entities being driven by the mode of ignorance and thus engaging in different activities for sense gratification. The material body itself indicates that living entity is already influenced by the three modes of material nature and that he is driven to enjoy material resources. When the body is influenced by the mode of ignorance, its infections becomes very acute. When it is influenced by the mode of passion, the infection is at the symptomatic stage. However, when the body is influenced by the mode of goodness, the materialistic infection becomes purified. The ritualistic ceremonies recommended in religious systems are certainly on the platform of goodness. But because within this material world, even the mode of goodness is sometimes polluted by the other qualities, namely passion and ignorance, a man in goodness is sometimes driven by the influence of ignorance. It is herein described that King Puranjana once went to the forest to kill animals. This means that he, the living entity, came under the influence of the mode of ignorance. The forest in which Puranjana engaged in hunting was named Pancha Prastha. The word Pancha means five, and this indicates the objects of the five senses. The body has five working senses, namely the hands, the legs, the tongue, the rectum and the genitals. By taking full advantage of these working senses, the body enjoys material life. The chariot is driven by five horses, which represent the five sense organs, namely the eyes, ears, nose, skin and the tongue. These sense organs are very easily attracted by the sense objects. Consequently, the horses are described as moving swiftly. On the chariot, King Puranjana kept two explosive weapons, which may be compared to Ahankara or false ego. This false ego is typified by two attitudes. I am this body, Ahanta, and everything in my body, bodily relationships, belongs to me, Mamata. The two wheels of the chariot may be compared to the two moving facilities, namely sinful life and religious life. The chariot is decorated with three flags, which represent the three modes of material nature. The five kinds of obstacles or uneven roads represent the five kinds of air passing within the body. These are prana, apana, udana, samana and vyana. The body itself is covered by seven coverings, namely skin, muscle, fat, blood, marrow, bone and semen. The living entity is covered by three subtle material elements and five gross material elements. These are actually obstacles placed before the living entity on the path of liberation from material bondage. The word rasmi, rope, in this verse indicates the mind. The word nira is also significant, for nira indicates the nest where a bird takes rest. In this case, nira is the heart where the living entity is situated. The living entity sits in one place only. The causes of his bondage are two, namely lamentation and illusion. In the material existence, the living entity simply hankers to get something he can never get. Therefore, he is in illusion. As a result of being in his illusory situation, the living entity is always lamenting. Thus, lamentation and illusion are described herein as vikubara, the two posts of bondage. The living entity carries out various desires through five different processes, which indicate the working of the five working senses. The golden ornaments and dress indicate that living entity is influenced by the quality of rajaguna, passion. One who has a good deal of money or riches is specially driven by the mode of passion. Being influenced by the mode of passion, one desires so many things for enjoyment in this material world. The 11 commanders represent the 10 senses and the mind. The mind is always making plans with the 10 commanders to enjoy the material world. The forest named Panchaprastha, where the king went to hunt, is a forest of the five sense objects: form, taste, sound, smell and touch. Thus, in these three verses, Narad Muni describes the position of the material body and the engagement of the living entity within it. That is the end of the purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki? Mukam karati vachalam pangur langhaite girin jat pipata maham bande sri guru dinatarinam paramananda madhavam sri chaitanya saram namam vishnu padaya. So long purport, took long time. So lot of things to discuss. Because of the limited time, I'll try to speak some aspect of the purport. Prabhupada is ending the purport with the statement, thus in these three verses, Narad Muni describes the position of the material body and the engagement of the living body within it, and how we are encased because of Ahankara, Prabhupada said, false ego, and also the two posts of bondage, lamentation and illusion. So we'll try to describe these aspects of the purport. So we all know that living entity by nature is transcendental, because living entity is the part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Krishna is the supremely independent personality, as part and parcel of the Lord, the living entity is also independent by nature. But that independence is really minute. So, as a living entity, we have the free choice we can use the independence in a proper way, in a right direction, or we can use that independence in a wrong or improper direction. As we are part of the whole, it is our natural constitutional position to serve the whole. And Prabhupada gives the example, just like hand is the part of the whole body. So the hand, the existence of the hand has meaning first if it is connected with the body. If the hand is severed from the body and separate, so it has any meaning, people will be scared. If the hand is falling somewhere separately, people will be scared to see that. Scary. So therefore, living entity disconnected from the Supreme Personality of Godhead is also scary. Scary situation. That's why Srimad Bhagavatam explained, padam padam jat vipadam. Material existence, at every step there is danger. Why? Because we are disconnected from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as we wanted to be disconnected from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna reciprocates with the living entity and gives us a chance to be separated from Him. But in order to be separated from Krishna, we need one quality. That quality is forgetfulness of Krishna. If we remember Krishna, then it is very difficult to be separated from Him, because Krishna is all attractive. So, in order to be separated from Krishna, we have to be benedicted with the quality of forgetfulness about Krishna. And that is called ahankar, false ego. Out of false ego, I think I am this body, and everything related to this body is meant for my enjoyment. And Prabhupada says that is enough to keep us in this material world eternally. Very simple. As long as I identify with this body, it's enough for us to stay in this material world. Because that is the false ego. And that binds the living entity with this gross body. Because spirit soul by nature is transcendental, and material elements cannot touch the spirit soul. But intelligence is the bridge, and by the false ego, living entity is connected or encaged in this material body. And because of this false ego, living entity continues his journey in this material world. And that is what Narad Muni is trying to describe to Prachina Varisha. So therefore, the first step in self-realization, or first step to get free from this material bondage, is to come into a transcendental knowledge. When Sanatana Goswami met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he asked the same question, who am I? That is the first inquiry, because that identification keeps us bound in this material world. So therefore, Prabhupada said that is called identity crisis. Every living entity in this material world is going through that identity crisis, who am I? That's why Prabhupada, in every book, from the small book up to the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, everywhere Krishna, he is telling that I am not this body, I am the spirit soul. Even in the five chapters of Rasa Leela, Prabhupada talks about that I am not this body, I am the spirit soul. Why? Because that is the fundamental principle of self-realization. Just like in mathematics also, algebra, द फर्स्ट फॉर्मूला इफ यू डोंट नो ए प्लस बी होल स्क्वायर इज इक्वल टू ए स्क्वायर प्लस टू बी प्लस बी स्क्वायर व्हाइल आई वाज इन द स्कूल आई वाज टॉट अनलेस यू नो दिस फॉर्मूला यू कैनॉट प्रोग्रेस फर्दर सो अनलेस यू नो दिस यू कैनॉट हैव फर्दर स्टडीज इन मैथमेटिक्स इन द सेम वे इन द स्पिरिचुअल जर्नी unless we have that concept is clear we cannot advance in spiritual life but what happens to us we ignore this basic principle of spiritual life and try to understand the advanced knowledge of spirituality doesn't work so therefore Prabhupada was very very particular about this and he always emphasizes that to identify ourselves as a spirit soul free from the bodily concept of life otherwise we are like ghostly haunted Chaitanya Charitamrita explains pisachi paile jemon motichchanno hoy mayabaddho jiber hoy se bhabe uday so we are the spirit soul but we are identifying ourselves with this material body Someone, when he is ghostly haunted, he identified himself with somebody which he is not, right? That is called ghostly haunted. In the same way, we also, Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, the conditioned living entity is also ghostly haunted. We are the spirit soul, but we are thinking we are this material body. And we are, our activities will be based on this identification. Our dharma. We say, what is our dharma? So first we have to understand who am I. Then we can identify what is my dharma. Srila Prabhupada in the purport explains, Bhagavad dharma is related to the soul, not to the body. That is very very important. Why Srimad Bhagavatam drives out all other religion? Because all other religion is based on the body. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that Puritranaya sadhunang vinashayacha duskritang dharma sanskapanathaya sambhavami juge juge. He is telling that I come to establish religious principle. At the end of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, he is telling sarva dharman parityaja. Reject all kinds of religion. It's a little contradictory. He comes to establish religion. But the end of Bhagavad Gita, he is telling, reject all religion. Sarva dharman parityaja. So there is no contradictory. The principle of religion Krishna comes to establish is not related to the body. He comes to establish the religious principle based on the principle of the soul and its connection with the Supreme Personality of God. That is called Sanatana Dharma. And that is called sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja. Surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the essence of all religion. So therefore, any religion we talk about, first we have to identify whose religion is this. This religion is based on the body or based on the soul. So therefore, identity. Our identity is very very important in our spiritual life. And that is the determining factor of our advancement in spiritual life. If that is not clear, it is very difficult to advance in Krishna consciousness. So therefore, we are like mad people. Ghostly haunted people don't know who are they, and also mad people, they also don't know who are they. They also identify differently. So once the Prime Minister of India, Jawaharlal Nehru, he went to see a mental asylum. How they are doing? So he was walking and seeing different madmen. And while he was walking, one madman was running very fast, and he became very scared, Jawaharlal Nehru. So he was a little scared and he ran and stood in front of him and started asking questions. Who are you? He said, I am Jawaharlal Nehru, the Prime Minister of India. So he started laughing. Oh, I got a very nice friend. Say, why? I am your nice friend. He said, I used to say the same thing before I came here. So this is called identity crisis. So we are all in that platform. Very difficult to give up this false ego. Even if we enter into this spiritual practice for many, many years, very difficult to give up false ego. False ego expect that we should be respected, right? But Mahaprabhu's philosophy is Amanina Manadena. We should give respect to others, but don't expect any respect from others. Diametrically opposite. The spiritual existence is diametrically opposite to material existence. In material existence, we want respect from everybody, but I don't want to respect others. But in the spiritual existence, I am ready to give respect to everyone, but I don't expect any respect from anybody. And that is the transcendental platform when we are free from ahankara. It's very, very difficult. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, Sakale samman korite sakati deho dhanto jatha jatha tabe to gaibo harinama sukhe aparado habe hato. Bengali poem. He's telling when we can chant the holy name purely, when we can give respect to everyone. Sakale samman. He's not telling giving respect to a spiritual master. He's not telling giving respect to senior disciples of Prabhupada. He's not telling giving respect to senior devotees. He's not telling giving respect only to the devotees. He's telling to everyone, every living entity. Sakale samman. Korite sakati. That needs empowerment. Who can do that? Unless you receive the mercy from the pure devotee of the Lord, it's very difficult to achieve that quality. So that quality cannot be achieved by our own endeavor. That's why Mahat Seva, why we need to serve the great soul? Because of that. Because that quality comes down through Guru Parampara. That's why you are dependent. We are dependent on Guru Parampara. Why? Because that quality can come down. We cannot achieve it by our own endeavor. So generally, relationship, because of our identity, we develop relationship. Spiritual advancement depends on relationship, not on sadhana too much. Sadhana is a byproduct of relationship. So Srimad Bhagavatam explains that how we can be free from the sufferings of this material world. Very simple formula. If we establish a nice relationship. So we have three kinds of relationship. Relationship with the superiors, relationship with the equals, and relationship with the juniors. Three kinds of people we deal with, right? So Srimad Bhagavatam explains, if I see a personality having greater qualities than me, having a superior position, I should be very jubilant and happy and be inclined to serve him. If I see somebody equal with me, we should have a nice friendly relationship with them. And if I see somebody who is junior to me, subordinate to me, I should be very compassionate to him to bring him up at my level. So in that way, if I have relationship with the people surrounded, then we can be free from the influence of material suffering. And that is the secret of advancement in spiritual life. But what is the nature of the conditioned soul? We have three different attitudes, three diametrically opposite attitudes, if we see these three categories of people in our life. Number one, if we see somebody superior to me, we become envious. Number two, when we see somebody at our level, equals, I start glorifying myself, try to impress him that I am greater than you. I have done this, I have done that, I have done this. It's nature to glorify myself. That is the nature, to impress my friends that I am a great person. And if I see somebody junior or subordinate to me, I have a nature to exploit that person. So in that way, in this material world, conditioned soul is engaged and go through the sufferings of the material nature. Why we do this? Because of our ahankara, because of our false ego. I am great. That is the secret of our unhappiness. Why you are unhappy? Because I think I am great. And the problem with that, if I am great, the world is made in such a way that there is somebody greater than me. And that is the cause of our unhappiness. We compare. As soon as we have false ego, we start comparing. And comparison is the cancer of the mind. And in this world, everybody is comparing. Even in the spiritual society, like ISKCON, we also compare. How many years you are in this movement? Whose disciple are you? You are a sannyasi, you are a grihastha. Always we try to establish ourselves that I am superior. That is the disease of the conditioned soul. Try to justify the mind, somehow or other I am superior to you. But in the spiritual reality, we have to justify our mind that I am inferior to everyone. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur defines the level of seniority in four categories. If someone is elder by age, he is senior to me. Someone who has taken up spiritual life before than me, he is senior to me. If someone is holding a higher position, he is senior to me. And fourth one, if someone is advanced, more advanced than me in Krishna consciousness, he is senior to me. So it's not easy to identify ourselves in one of these four categories and justify ourselves that I am junior. Very easy. And at least I should think that someone is more, if, okay, I am elderly than you, I am in a better position than you, I have joined this movement before you, so I am senior in three categories and mind will say I am senior. But that, in that situation of life, I should think that although I am senior by age, although I am senior by number of years in this Krishna consciousness, although I am senior by position, but I may not be so advanced like him. He may be more advanced in spiritual life than me. In that category, I am junior to him. So in that way, take a humble position. So that is the symptom of advancement in Krishna consciousness. How much we are feeling from within that I am small. And that's why humility comes from knowledge. And false ego comes from ignorance. When I don't know the greatness of others, I feel proud. Just like if you are in a village, if you build a nice house, a small house, nice house, you feel very proud. Oh, I have built such a nice house. And if that guy goes to New York City and other cities of the modern world and sees big, big houses, he'll be proud. Oh, I have built such a nice house. But why he was so proud in the village? Because he did not have the knowledge of good house. In the same way, I feel that I am great when I am not in the association of great personalities. So advancement in Krishna consciousness is dependent how much we are associating with the great personalities. That makes us humble. So therefore, Rupa Goswami explains we should associate with devotees who are superior. Very, very important for advancement in Krishna consciousness. That keeps us humble. But if we are far, far away from the great personalities, we start thinking that we are great. So therefore, to keep us humble, we should narrate, hear, discuss different associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and also the great personalities in our Guru Parampara. Very, very important. Why? In one sense, by glorifying the pure devotees, we get purified. In other way, when we glorify these great personalities, then we can understand our situation also. Where am I? That keeps us humble. So why we read Srimad Bhagavatam? Why we read the different personalities? To keep us humble that yes, these are the great personalities. Just like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he established the standard of different aspects of spiritual life through different associates. If someone is chanting very nicely, oh, I am chanting 32 rounds, I am chanting 64 rounds, I am chanting so purely, I am chanting 16 rounds before Mangalarati. So many ways you can feel that I am great, right? But when you hear the pastimes or hear the life of Haridas Thakur, you will be feeling proud that I am chanting so nicely. That's the standard. Perfection of chanting, Haridas Thakur. So you feel humble. As soon as you hear about Haridas Thakur, anybody who is proud about his chanting will come down. That's why very, very important to hear the great personalities. Someone, when we come into Krishna consciousness, mainly the brahmacharis, they become very renounced. Oh, I am not eating this, I am doing that. So when he hears about Raghunath Das Goswami, his renunciation, his bhajan, he used to do bhajan for 22 hours and 30 minutes in a day. Okay? That is his bhajan hours. And 1.5 hour for sleeping, eating and all other activities. So anybody in this movement can be proud to think that I am doing great bhajan and I am renounced. So that is the great personality. So when we are near to some great personality, then we feel very humble. So therefore, we have to come close to Srila Prabhupada. Then we will be humble. Why we become proud sometimes? When we are away from Prabhupada, when we are away from Guru Parampara, when we are away from the great personalities, then we feel proud, ignorance. So I always give an example that a mountain, so from far mountain looks small, right? If you see those who stay in the hilly area, if you see a hill or mountain from a far distance, that mountain looks small, not so big. And you think, I am also big, not so small than the mountain, feeling proud. But when you start walking towards that mountain, come closer to the mountain, what happens? Mountains start appearing bigger and bigger, and you start appearing smaller and smaller. In the same way, Krishna and his pure devotees are like mountain. When we, the practicing devotees, are far, far away from them, we think, oh, we are great, doing so much, 20 years in the movement, you know, 30 years in the movement. We feel proud. But that is not the symptom of advancement, that I am 30 years in the movement, I am 40 years in the movement. Prabhupada said that many trees also stay for millions of years. Doesn't mean he is very advanced. So, advancement doesn't mean that you are so many years in the movement. Advancement is the transformation of the heart. A person transformation can take place in a very short period of time. Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, you cannot get the taste of the holy name even after millions of lifetime. But somebody can get taste in the holy name in few years in his life. Why? Because advancement is nothing external. So in the same way, when we become close to Krishna and close to the great personalities, obviously, these people will be bigger and bigger to me, and I start feeling smaller and smaller. And that is the humility. So humility is the natural quality of a person who is in real knowledge, who is in real Krishna consciousness. That is, it is not an artificial quality. Who expects respect? Who is not advanced in Krishna consciousness? Who is willing to give respect? Who is advanced in Krishna consciousness? That is Uttamadhikari. Uttamadhikari thinks he is not the devotee. Everyone else is a devotee. It is not an artificial quality to be developed. There is a natural transcendental quality developed in the heart. We cannot imitate that. We cannot imitate. But sometimes we imitate. We cannot imitate. This kind of quality is given. There is a natural quality given by Krishna through his pure devotees. So we can judge. That is a parameter. That whether I want to give respect or I want to be respected. That is the secret. Whether I am advancing in Krishna consciousness or not. Our nature is that I want to be prominent. I want to be in limelight. I like to be respected. I want to be treated as special. That is the disease of the heart. And that disease, as long as continues, is very happy to be here in this material world and get respect, but will not get Krishna and pure love of God. So choice is ours. We want respect or we want Krishna. Choice is ours. So if you want Krishna, then try to develop the practice of giving respect to others and don't expect respect. Because you cannot cheat Krishna. You may be showing yourself so humble, but inside what is there, Paramatma knows what you want. So if you want Krishna, you have to give price for that. Because Krishna is Bhavagrahi Janardhan. He knows your mood. And Krishna will reciprocate according to our mood. So in that way, humility has to be cultivated. And that is the way we can be free from ahankara. So one of the best way to be free from ahankara is to serve the senior devotees. Serve the devotees. By that way, we can be free from ahankara. And in that way, our engagement in this material body will come to an end by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Without the mercy of the devotees, it is impossible for us to be free from this prison, to be free from this prison of material body. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The time is up. If you have any question, you can ask.
Yes, about the course of the lecture, you mentioned that spiritual advancement depends more on relationship than on sadhana.
It's not clear. Speak louder.
In the course of the lecture, you mentioned spiritual advancement depends more on relationship than on sadhana. Then my question is, during the time of initiation, a disciple takes vow to follow forms and regulations and chant 16 rounds, not on relationship. Can you expand on this?
What's the question?
In time of initiation, a disciple take a vow to follow the four rules and regulations and chant minimum 16 rounds.
Because the quality of your... I understood your question. The quality of your sadhana will depend on your relationship. He is asking a question. I mentioned that relationship is more important than sadhana. So because the I wanted to mean that quality of your sadhana will be dependent on your relationship. Chanting of the holy name gives us love of God, right? But nirapadhare naam loile pai pramadhan. When we get love of Godhead, when we chant the holy name purely, without any offense. So when we can be free from the offense? When we have relationship. When you have a proper Vaishnava relationship, then you can be free from the offenses. Then you can chant the holy name purely. So in that context, I told that relationship plays a very, very important role in our spiritual life. Okay.
Well, thank you for a very inspiring class. But I have a question. Since you focus mainly on ahankara, false ego, there is a purport in the fourth canto, I'm not sure exactly where Prabhupada says that if one is serious about getting free from false ego, he should worship Sankarshan and Lord Shiva.
Yeah.
Could you comment on that?
Yeah, it's there. Because Lord Shiva is the presiding deity of ahankara. So if you worship him, by his mercy, we can be free from ahankara. And anyway, Lord Shiva is the best devotee of the Lord.
But we see within ISKCON society, where does this go on? in the ISKCON society.
Yes.
Where does this go on, this worship of Lord Shiva, to become free from Ahankara? Right.
Because generally Prabhupada has established that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Lord Shiva generally commonly understood as a demigod, and he propagated so much against demigod, so he's having worship of Lord Shiva in the temple, he avoided. So personally we can obviously worship Lord Shiva and get his mercy. And in Jagannath temple we have Lord Shiva. You can go and take his mercy. In our Mahaprabhu's birthplace there is Lord Shiva. In every dham is protected by Lord Shiva. You cannot enter into any dham without the mercy of Lord Shiva. So in that way, no problem. Okay.
You mentioned that the Bhagavatam is the only scripture that's freeing us from the bodily concept. And while I agree the Bhagavatam is the topmost shastra, and the other religions are Chaitavadana, still the Christians, they talk very much of the soul. There are many Christian saints who are very ascetic, who denied the body, who put the body as a secondary concern in their lives. So we're not completely exclusive in this way. I think in Islam also they have ascetics. So how is the difference? I mean, I understand our understanding is much more advanced in terms of the relationship of the soul to the Supreme Lord. But still, these people are talking of the soul. So it's not that we have a complete monopoly on this. Is that right?
Who else has about the soul?
The Christians?
Yeah.
They're talking about the soul. Their saintly persons are ascetic and they're cultivating humility very, very seriously. So.
There are different level of knowledge. The first level of knowledge is that I am not this body, I am the spirit soul. That is the first step of our knowledge. Then second is that what is my relationship? Only knowing me is not enough. Then what is my relationship with God? So therefore next comes, who is God? Right? And that is lacking in other religion. That's the defect. If I know, then I am alone. Who am I? If there is no connection with the Lord. The other religion, the problem is that there is other religion, they also talk about God. But most of them, they don't understand the full concept of God. But Prabhupada says, a child in our Krishna consciousness knows who is God. He knows Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In our Krishna conscious philosophy, we know who is God, what's his name, what is his address, how he looks like, who is his friend. Everybody, complete package has been given, which none of the religion has given. So therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is topmost. Very clear and unambiguous way, Bhagavatam explains who is God. What's his name, where he stays, everything is complete. That's why our dharma, the concept of dharma given in Srimad Bhagavatam is most complete.
Thank you, it's a very nice class. Very much appreciate it. Hare Krishna. Very well.
Last question.
Yes, thank you, Prabhu. It was mentioned in the purport, and you did not address that point because, of course, there were so many points.
Many points.
Yeah. But one point Prabhupada made with some insistence is that animal sacrifices are in the mode of ignorance. And devotees don't engage in this, or people in the mode of goodness don't engage in it.
Yes.
But then we also know that to test Vedic sacrifices, animals were sacrificed and their lives were were benefited, their souls were benefited.
Yes.
So is there two kinds of animal sacrifices, or how is it that animal sacrifice is recommended for the benefit of the animals? And also in the Bhagavatam, which is supposed to be the non-cheating teaching, the ultimate teaching, we see there are at least a couple of types of animal sacrifices that are not only accepted, but they are encouraged, they are glorified. There is the Ashwamedha Yajna and Rajasuya Yajna, both of them containing animal sacrifices. In fact, there's the 100 horse sacrifice that was performed by Indra himself, who is supposed to be in the mode of goodness. And Shri Krishna participated in the Rajasuya sacrifice of Maharaj Yudhisthira. He was honored as the presiding personality of that. So how do we reconcile Prabhupada's extreme statements against animal sacrifice as being completely in the mode of ignorance and those considerations?
Okay. Prabhupada is making a very clear point that animal sacrifice is recommended in Vedas. Prachin Parishad also was engaged in animal sacrifice, right? In this purport also he is telling. Although he was a religious king, mode of goodness, but sometimes those who are in mode of goodness also get influenced by the mode of ignorance and passion. Right? So why someone does 100 Ashwamedha Yajna? He wants to be the unrivaled king in this planet and he wants to become Indra. So it's in the mode of goodness or it's in the mode of passion or ignorance? So it's in the mode of passion and ignorance. So therefore, Prabhupada is making a point that although someone may be very religious king, but sometimes they get influenced by the mode of passion and ignorance and get involved in these animal sacrifices. But it has benefit. It has two benefits. Number one, the animals, those who are slaughtered, they get higher life by the chanting of the mantra. And number two, those who like to have animal sacrifice in the mode of ignorance, because they are doing in a ritualistic way, they get also purified and get promoted to the mode of passion and ignorance, mode of passion and goodness. So mode of ignorance people, they like to kill animals, but Vedic system is to promote people from mode of ignorance to passion to goodness. So therefore, those who are too much attached for animal sacrifice, animal killing, animal eating, so there is a system how to do it, how to do it. And when you do in the way the Vedic literature describes, then you will be purified and slowly, slowly your consciousness also will be purified and you get promoted to the mode of passion and goodness. But in Kali Yuga, animal sacrifice is completely rejected. So there is, that's why Prabhupada says, Sankirtan Yajna is the Yajna for Kali Yuga and there is no scope of animal sacrifice in Kali Yuga. So we are in a very safe age, no confusion, because we don't need to do all these animal sacrifices. We only involve in Sankirtan Yajna. Okay.
I don't understand your answer in the sense that I mentioned the names of Maharaj Yudhisthira.
Yeah, I told you.
There's also Prithvi Maharaj.
They also do for a different purpose. It's not a spiritual purpose. You understand? Prachin Parishad also was involved. That's why Narad Muni became very compassionate to him. He was a religious king, but he was influenced by this injunctions of Vedas and he was involved in animal sacrifice. That's why he came and tried to upgrade him. Okay.
So they were in the mode of ignorance trying to rise to the platform of passion and goodness?
Sometimes a person in the mode of goodness sometimes get influenced by the mode of passion and ignorance by seeing the injunctions in Vedas and they involve in those activities. But it is the duty of the pure devotee to remind them, this is not the real purpose of life.
Krishna didn't remind you this year, he participated and presided over the...
That is another way of discussing why Yudhishthira Maharaj performed Rajasya Yajna. But by doing Rajasya Yajna, you don't get love of God. There is a different purpose of Rajasya Yajna. Okay, Veda doesn't talk about only how to get love of God. There are different other aspects of this material world which can be achieved by different sacrifices. But that is not the spiritual purpose, that by doing animal sacrifice, we become pure devotee of the Lord. We have to know the different purpose. Okay? A Vaishya does business. That's his duty. Veda also says that a Vaishya is supposed to do business. But by doing business, you don't become pure devotee of the Lord. Right? What is their duty? To do business. Why? To maintain his material life. So as a king, they have some duty to perform. But that is not the real spiritual perfection. That by doing Rajasya Yajna, you get spiritual perfection. Okay? We can discuss further personally. Janani Vasu.
Passion, but many citizens are in the mode of passion, and to fulfill their desires, the king of the subjects, the king would actually perform a sacrifice for the satisfaction of the citizens.
Okay. Another nice point, Janani Vasu has said that king may be in the mode of goodness, but the citizens are not in the mode of goodness. So to satisfy the citizens, those who are in the mode of passion and ignorance, for their satisfaction, kings sometimes do different sacrifices. Thank you. Okay, so we'll end here. Mantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki Swamata Gaur Bhaktavinda ki Vitae Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.